Now, some of the things we've discussed off the tape, I'm not aware of the great amount of lasciviousness concerning marriage that has gone on in different churches of God to allow divorce and remarriage 2, 3, 4, 5 times, okay? So we're talking about a whole different ball game, and only God can read their hearts, you see. But I will say that anyone who's converted and in the church and has been taught what marriage is all about and knows what marriage is all about, then if, as Paul said, they separate, they are to remain unmarried or be reconciled because they know the truth and are accountable to God for that. Period. This can apply to those who are converted and even to those who are not converted, provided they know and have the instruction. Okay? Because if you know, then you are held accountable to God. Not a matter of conversion. It's a matter of knowledge. Can't be any other way. Otherwise, you've got this rampant divorce, remarriage, and licentiousness that is hailed as wonderful liberty, and all it is enslaving people into sin. And they're living in a perpetual state of adultery. Let's go to Romans, the 7th chapter. See, so what we're coming to in the final analysis is that the availability of divorce and remarriage are really very narrow. It's not a broad thing. And in the case of the unbeliever, there are so many things which cannot be applied in the same way today as it was then. Okay? Simply because we were talking about those who believed in Zeus and all the pagan gods as a non-believer. Whereas today, you've got a multitude of people who believe in Christ, howbeit not perfectly. A comment was made that if you break the law breaks you. And I think there are going to be a lot of people. You see, you have to go back to Matthew 7. Okay? Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one who's doing the will of my Father who's in heaven. And many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful works? Have we not cast out, that is in your name, cast out demons in your name? And he's going to say, I never knew you. You workers of iniquity, that is anomos, against law. And many of the things that are going on in divorce and remarriage are against law, and they're going to pay the penalty, and there are going to be some people who are going to pay the penalty of not making it into the kingdom of God. That is a reality. And it can center around divorce and remarriage. In probably a lot of cases, it may center right there. So God has to be the ultimate judge on it. But, you know, Matthew 7 tells us, look, everyone, don't assume everything's going to be hunky-dory, because there are going to be a lot of surprises in that day. Okay? Now, let's go to Romans 7. When we come to Romans 7, we have some very interesting things as we go along. We go from general to specific. Romans 1. Are you ignorant, brethren? That's what it is in the Greek. It's not, do you not know? It's, are you ignorant? Very strong. For I speak to those who are knowing law. That is, present tense participle. Understanding right this minute law, which is general. No, the law, but law. General statement, all law. You understand the functioning of all law, which has to be then those who understood the Old Testament. So we're not talking here in this particular case to Gentiles without the law. If it includes Gentiles, then it's those who know the law. Okay? That the law rules over a man for as long a time as he may live. That's a general statement that applies to everything. That applies to idolatry. That applies to having one God before you. That applies to taking God's name in vain. The Sabbath. Murder. Adultery. Go right on down to Ten Commandments and whatever the commandments of Christ that he gave. Tie it all in. Do not these things have dominion over us as long as we may live? However long that may be. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay? Then he goes to a specific law. He shifts from the general principle of law to a specific law. For the married woman is bound by the law to the living husband. But if the husband should die, she is cleared. In this case, it's not luo, loosed. Cleared. Wiped out. Does not apply. The law of marriage does not apply. Because marriage is binding till death. He dies. Cleared from the law, notice this, of the husband or her husband. It's the husband in the Greek, so generally applied. So it can be applied to all. Okay. And this is the way that it should be in all marriages should be. With the little exception, then when we get to 1 Corinthians 7, we'll cover that. So then, as long as the husband is living, she shall be called an adulteress if she be married to another man. Question. What was Israel and Judah called? Did they not marry other gods? Yes. Did not the law apply to them as a nation in doing so? Deuteronomy 28. If you hearken unto my commandments, blessed, 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 blessed. If you don't hearken unto my commandments, cursed, 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 cursed. Did that not happen? Yes. If I said there's no room for divorce, I meant there is no room for divorce and remarriage, if you know. Okay? Christ did, as the God of the Old Testament, divorce Israel, but he never remarried another nation. Okay? Because he had full knowledge of what she was. But she was called an adulteress, and he called her an adulteress. And he even went further and said, Judah is treacherous. So much so that backsliding Israel has justified herself. Yeah, you see. So those are pretty heavy words. You read Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Man, if you don't come away with your mind and you're almost like someone sitting on your chest, you're oppressed at some of those things. They're unreal. Okay? Now then, but if the husband should die, she is free from the law. For so is her not to be entered adulteress, though having become the wife of another man. Okay? Now, here's what he's getting to. He's getting down between the two covenants is what he's getting to. Okay? There were some people under the old covenant who were faithful, correct? They lived by that marriage agreement of the old covenant, correct? If they would have done anything outside of the old covenant in relationship to God, they would be adulterers or adulteresses. Correct? under the old covenant, they could not even enter into the covenant with Christ until he died. And the more rigid Jews today view what people do in coming to Christianity is adultery from the Old Covenant, because they don't know that the Old Covenant has ceased. And the covenant then is the terms of the agreement. Okay. Laws were in the Old Covenant which are eternal and always binding on everyone everywhere, which is included in every covenant that God makes under any circumstances anyway. So the abrogation of a covenant does not abrogate the eternal laws, howbeit they are part of the covenant. Okay, are we all clear on that? I know we are. Protestants can't understand that.
Very true.
So in our series with Scripturalism and Judaism, we're coming right to the heart and core of what the Protestants believe. They've accepted Judaism's proposition that the law of Moses is everything that Moses said and all of our rabbis said and all of our learned scholars said in this huge fence around here. This whole great expanded thing is now the law of Moses. So when they come along and Christ says, I'm stripping away all of the tradition, they are taking the next step and stripping away all of the laws when Christ said, don't think I'm stripping away the laws that are eternal. Because those laws run through every covenant that I make because I'm God. Okay. Now we come to verse 4. So that my brethren, you also were made dead to the law by the body of Christ. So we have two things that were accomplished here. He says, you were dead, my brethren, as well as Christ died. So here we have a double ending of the old covenant relationship. A double ending. Because when they're baptized, they die. Christ died on the cross. You have a double annulling of the agreement of the old covenant. That's what he's saying. This is very profound stuff. Okay? The law in this particular case refers back to the law of the husband. But also, since it doesn't say the law of the husband, can refer to the term the law as the old covenant was called. I mean, this gets to be pretty technical stuff here, okay? By the body of Christ, because see, when we are baptized with Christ, he just says over here in chapter 6, okay? And as I wrote in the book of Christian Passover, when you are baptized, you are co-joined into his death, okay? So it's a final, complete ending of that, okay? So that, in order that, for you to be married to another who was raised from the dead, referring to Christ, that we, now he includes we. Notice how he shifts here. This is really some heavy, heavy writing here. Because he packs so much in these verses that we should bring forth fruit to God. For when we are in the flesh, the passions of sin, which were through the law, because that defines sin for us, wrought in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Because with the law of sin and death in you, even all of your good is not worthy before God, because you're going to die because of the law of sin and death in you. So what he's saying, even with the old covenant, though there was that relationship, you could never, ever, ever bring forth spiritual fruit to God because they didn't have the spiritual fruit to do it, and they all ended up in death because the wages of sin is death, and there was no expiation of sin because Christ had not died, So they were trapped into debt, and there they were, though they had the law. Now that is profound stuff. That is not easily grasped by a lot of people. You have to have the Spirit of God to grasp it. Okay? But now you are cleared from the law, i.e. the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. Okay? You are cleared from the law of the covenant which bound you to the God of the Old Covenant because he died. You are cleared from the law and that relationship because you likewise died in baptism. Okay? Having died in that which you were held, I just explained that, so that after this rising out of the watery grave of your death and understanding the death of Christ, we should serve in newness of spirit. And that is obviously then the laws of God, which what? Function in our lives as long as we live. You should serve in the spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Okay. Now that's a pretty